is a Furnish Brothers production.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Talkin' Buds Podcast. The Talkin' Buds Podcast. About the buds, by the buds, for the buds.
This is the Talking Buds Podcast. And now, here's your host, Rob and Ryan.
A few weeks ago, when it dawned on me that our 50th episode was approaching, I was like, this is going to be huge. We're going to have to come up with some sort of special segment. It's going to be like a celebration. 50 episodes, buddy. Can you believe we made it to 50 episodes?
50 episodes. Cheers to that, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Consistency. Mm-hmm. This podcast
is here for you.
Shows the consistency that this team that we cover does not show.
Whoa.
On a nightly basis. So cheers to 50, vodka soda peach, my drink of choice for this monumental episode.
Well, you kind of took the words out of my mouth there, buddy. I'm not feeling in a celebratory mood. The Maple Leafs are in trouble, dude. This is like, I know that like throughout the year, there's been bad stretches and there's been the whole sort of like tongue in cheek. Like, is it time to hit the panic button conversation? But it's like, no, now is actually the time to hit the panic button.
Well, let's get right into it. Like, let's not diddle dally around with the Florida game. I need to ask you one thing. What is wrong with this hockey team?
I'll tell you what's wrong with this hockey team right now. And I don't actually want to skip over the Florida game because, Ryan, as I said last week.
No, we'll get there. Okay. We'll get there. But honestly, I am so frustrated at this point. It's our 50th episode. And I'm fired up and watching this game, man.
I'll tell you. All
right. You're watching it. And it's just like, what is wrong with this
team?
Here's my
analysis, okay? They're a team. They're a poor defensive hockey team. And they are built to win. If you look at their wins since Sheldon Keefe took over, it's all just like, look at all the games, okay? 6-4, 4-2, 7-5. Like, just like. High scoring wins, all right? If you are not getting the appropriate goaltending, 920 save percentage goaltending, you cannot win playing like that. Which brings me to my next point. Kyle Dubas has some splaining to do. Like, in the 2 years Kyle Dubas has been general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, they have not provided a sufficient enough backup for Freddie Anderson. And there was always the possibility last year and this year with Garrett Sparks and Michael Hutchinson that Freddie might get hurt, he might go down, and then your backup's going to have to come in there for a stretch. Now, we don't know how long Freddie's going to be out. They're saying day-to-day, what with these neck concussion-type injuries, you just never know, right? It's at the point with Michael Hutchinson, Ryan, and I don't think all the goals were his fault tonight, because as I said earlier, they're a pretty brutal defensive team. But it's at the point, you can't even put him in there for a game. Like, you can't trust that he's going to go in there and win.
Here's what I'm struggling with, and this isn't me saying like it's all the team, but this is 3 years in a row or two and a half. The first year you had Johnny Enroth, take a trip down memory lane. Johnny Enroth, terrible, couldn't make a save. You brought in Curtis McElhinney, he was decent. The last 2 years, we have pinned lost points on backup goaltending. And I find it rather difficult to blame that solely on two individuals. That fourth goal tonight that he gave up against the Rangers was as bad as it gets. Yep. And the second one, he got beat clean. And this whole year, he's been sketchy in the net. And you're on your edge of your seat when any time a shot gets directed towards him. But are we at the point where we're willing to blame backup goalies for playoff losses or not making the playoffs? Like, I'm having a hard time doing it. Like, are we going to just hang this all on the backup goaltender?
No. We're not hanging it all on the backup goaltender, Ryan, but he's a below average goalie. Like,
he's terrible. I'm not saying tonight,
Ryan, if he doesn't let that fourth goal in, it's a different game. And Monday against Florida, like, dude, the go ahead goal that he let in against Florida, it sucks the life right out of them. And so it's like, is it all his fault? No, because no one has highlighted more than you and I how difficult it is to be a goalie in front of this team. Like, no one has highlighted that more than us. But you need to make a big save, and he can't make a big save. He just can't.
No, he can't. And I totally agree with that. But, like, I'm just watching this team, and I think it's because we're too close to it. I don't have the time to sit down and watch other games around the NHL. I wish I could. I wish I could be an absolute hockey mastermind and know every team's efficiencies. But all I do is watch this hockey team. We do this podcast. We are huge fans. We set our time aside to watch this team play at the most inconvenient time sometimes. But it's like, I'm almost too close to it. It's like I'm watching them. They have tons of talent. Their best player is 39 goals. Some of their best players have more than point a game or close to a point a game. And they go down tonight and they're losing. And you're just like, you're looking at the standings and you're like, what is happening? What is going on? I don't know. What is wrong with this team? Like, yeah, they're horrible defensively, but they got a ton of talent. That's all the media has been telling me. It's all I've been watching. It's all I see in the stats and the articles and what I read. But yet, I'm watching tonight, and it's just like, no, like, this league is
hard.
And your
best player is scoring goals. Your best player is in contention to win the Rocket Richard Trophy. So it's like,
so what are we looking at here? Are we looking at secondary scoring? Is that not good enough? Is it just all on the blue line because the blue line sucks? Is it the backup goaltending?
Ryan, I got to be honest with you, man. Like, I have a really hard time putting this on the forwards right now. Like, I really do. Like, maybe if you want to talk about them as a team in the defensive zone, sure. But, like, I thought this is two games in a row now, the Florida game and the Ranger game, where I don't think they played that bad. It's just it's not the Florida game. They played well. The Panthers were awful. They dominated them that whole game, and they lose because they have
because
they have mental lapses in the defensive zone. They have, first of all, they have the defense just simply isn't good enough. Okay, Cody Ceci, well documented, especially after the Florida game and on this podcast for weeks, one of the worst hockey players I've ever seen. Okay, Rasmus Sandin, talent for days, but he's a kid. And he's just getting into the league, and it takes...
He's too slow, and he's too soft.
It takes a really long time for a defenseman to figure it out in the National Hockey League.
Yes, and that's totally fine, but for now, he's too soft, and he's too slow. And Cody Ceci's terrible. And Tyson Barrie, like you said, is awful. Travis Dermott scares me sometimes.
And Holt...
For a guy who is seen as the future and a guy we're going to have to pay... Like, he kind of scares me sometimes. I'm not going to lie. Like the kid a lot.
And Hall and Muzzin.
But he scares me.
Hall and Muzzin.
And then Hall, I'm not a Justin Hall fan. I've been on this podcast before. I think he's a boring hockey player. I don't think he's very good at all. Like, I think he's overrated a lot. Yeah, it's a nice little story. Came out of the press box. But, like, nah, I'm not a huge fan.
They're not.
And Jake Muzzin is okay. I don't mind.
They're set up to be a high-powered offensive team, and that's how they beat teams. And they're going to give up goals. And the counter argument against the way this team is built from the people who don't like it has always been, well, you're not going to win in the playoffs like that. This isn't sustainable. You're not going to have ultimate success in the National Hockey League with a team that's constructed like this. And then the people who are on Team Dubas are like, no, you are, because if you dominate puck possession, that's how you win games. But it's like, sure, but if it when your goaltending is allowing goals, like the fourth Rangers goal tonight, it doesn't matter how often you have the puck. And when your defense is struggling as much, and it's not all on the six guys back there, Ryan. Like, them as a collective unit, the whatever combination of five guys are out there, when they're in the defensive zone, it's not good.
No, it's forwards included. That's why I have a hard time. Like, I've played enough hockey, watched enough hockey, analyzed enough hockey to know that you can't just pin everything on 2D back there. It's a five-man unit in the defensive zone, and it's when things go bad for this hockey team, really, like, bad. Man, do they go bad. They spiral. Yeah. They go down the largest, steepest hill you've ever seen in your life, and it's frustrating. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm so frustrated watching this team, and because you're so immersed in it, you're watching every game. There's the games where they win 5-3. You're like, oh, man, they're actually pretty decent. Tons of talent. Like, you know what? They can score. Like, whatever. And then they lose. They play so well this game. I thought they played pretty decent overall. And then you go to the Florida game. Thought they were phenomenal. I was so proud of them after the two periods. Look at the shots they gave up after two periods. Don't remember the exact number.
It was low. Phenomenal. It was way ahead 13 in or shots. 14.
Yeah, and it's like, this is great. If they would lose every game like this, they'd probably be in a pretty good spot if they play like this every game. And then it's like, okay, lose two in a row, lose a critical game to Florida, and now you're looking at the standings and you're like, what are we doing here? Yep. Like, what is this team? Like, they might have a ton of talent, but like, there's just something is not right. And it's, I get why fans of this hockey team through generations and generations have just quit on them. Because, man, like, tonight I'm watching the third period. I'm like, they're not coming back. Like, man, I am so frustrated.
Yep. I'm right there with you, buddy. Like, I don't know really what else to say. Like, it's like, they're in trouble. Like, they're in trouble. They have to do something. And it's like, there's still all this talk about, like, oh, Kyle Dubas is going to, like, dude, they're in a brutal place right now because they're a team reeling and on the ropes. And I know this is a cliche thing to say, but it's actually true. If you want to upgrade the goaltending position, you're going to have to give up too much to do that. Because teams know
desperate. What is too much at this point? Like, what is too much
for
at
me,
this point?
For me, like, it's giving up. Well, that's a good point. For me, it's giving up draft capital because I think this is going to be the second year in a row without a first round pick. So I'd prefer to not give up draft picks. But so that means you also got to make the money work. So the names that are constantly thrown around are a Kapanen or a Johnsson. We haven't even talked about the Kasperi Kapanen thing from the weekend where he got benched for missing practice or being late for practice because he slept in. So it's like, you're going to have to give up one of those guys and then potentially...
Rob, at this point, man, get rid of both. Like, I don't care. Like, it's over. The guy's late for practice. He's got good speed. He's flashy. I don't care. We have enough flashy players on this hockey team. You're not going to make a killer deadline deal. I think this year's is what it is.
You're
going
to have to...
But if you're going into next season, man, like, you got to let go. You got to let go of the emotion of some of these guys you grew up with the Marlies with. Oh, well, Keith battled out in the Marlies with this guy. I don't care,
Ryan,
man.
If they miss the playoffs, heads are going to roll.
Dude, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, and you text me tonight. If they miss the playoffs, we're looking at one individual. And he wears glasses for a hint.
And took the singer of Arkells on the trip as his mentor.
Which I found very odd. What is the mentor's trip? Explain it to me
right
now.
It's taking people who... Well, some of it's kind of nice. Like, they're taking...
Is it a hockey mentor?
It's just a life mentor.
A life
just
mentor?
A life mentor. Okay. So, like, Tyson Berry, for instance, took his grandpa. Like, I think that's nice. But then Kyle Dubas is like, lovely. I'm bringing Max Kerman, the singer of the Arkells. And it's like, okay, that's weird.
Yeah, which is a bit of a weird flex on the guy.
Yeah, that's weird. Don't get me wrong. The Arkells are a great band. I encourage you to see them live. If you don't like them and you want to change your opinion, see them live. It'll change your opinion. Anyway.
Well, good Canadian band. You got to support.
Anyway. Yeah, we're all going to be looking at him because, like, Ryan, I was talking to my buddy at work today about this. This has been such a weird season. Like, think about how this season has gone. It's like, first he makes the deal in the offseason, the Nazem Kadri trade, which I think we can all agree at this point.
Terrible trade.
Bust of a trade.
Bust of a trade. Terrible trade.
Yeah, so
Here, right now, garbage. Yeah,
bust of a trade. We thought at the time, like, and there are people who I still see on Twitter who like have massive Twitter followings and like whatever, who are like, I still would do the trade over again. And it's like, are you insane?
Yeah, whatever, buddy. Like, yeah, okay. You keep looking on those analytics, all right, buddy. Yeah. Go ahead. Useless stats. That's what those are. Look at the standings. That's the only stat that matters. 100%. Tired of that.
Yeah, I know.
Ridiculous.
Me too. I'm tired of justifying a team. I'm tired of justifying tired a team that is not in a playoff spot with a bunch of numbers. It's like,
I get it. Zone entries, scoring opportunities, possession time. You know what drives me nuts? If you analyze every other sport, okay, baseball, football, basketball, because the only sports that actually matter. No offense to other sports, they're all possession games. Like, football is a possession game. One team has possession for a significant amount of time. Same with basketball. And baseball is kind of different. Hockey, it's a crazy game. It's a small game in a small area where players are fighting for the puck, have no space, no time, and have to make quick decisions. Possession numbers in a game like hockey mean nothing to me. They mean nothing, okay? So don't throw possession numbers at me with this hockey team. Look at the standings. That's all that matters.
Ryan,
okay?
You realize that possession is the philosophy in which Kyle Dubas has built this team.
And that's nice, okay? Like, if your team, like, if you look at the Bruins, I don't have the Bruins analytics in front of my face, but I'm sure they're very strong. I'm sure they have possession more times than not. But the difference between the Leafs and the Bruins is when the Bruins don't have possession, they know what to do to get possession again and defend.
And
this
hockey team
doesn't know how to defend.
Earlier, when this episode started, you asked me, what is wrong with the Maple Leafs? Therein lies the problem right there. You just hit it on the head. When they do not have possession, they do not know how to regain possession. None of them know how.
And when they're forced in a bad spot, they don't have the maturity or the know-how to get out of it. It's the steepest hill on planet Earth when things start going bad for them. It's not good. Ridiculous. I can't believe we're on this episode being like, oh, they're about to make the playoffs. What do you mean they're not going to make the playoffs?
It's a distinct possibility. Like, when you're losing, when you're at this point, when you're at this time of the year and you're in the position that they're in where you're battling like they are and you're dropping games in regulation, it's not good.
No, and it's just been an up and down season. We've said it on past episodes. It's win four, lose three, win five, lose four. Like,
I want to revisit that because, like, I was thinking about it holistically today, and like, just this whole year has been so odd. Like, it started with the Kadri trade, which we said is bogus. Then the season starts, and like right away they're dealing with injuries. They have the Marner situation in camp that eventually gets solved, and then eventually, like, Babcock eventually gets fired and they bring in Keefe, and like the backup goaltending, like I know that you said earlier that you're hesitant to put it all on goaltending, and okay, but Ryan, Michael Hutchinson has cost this team. If you go down and look at their wins and losses, he's cost this team at least 6 points in the standings, at least.
Rob, I am sorry. I will fight you that I will fight you on this till the end of time. There is no way I am blaming a lost playoff season on a backup goaltender. No way.
I get it. I agree with you, okay? But I'm telling you right now, they would be in a better position in the standings if they had even a slight upgrade at backup goalie.
And I'm sure 30 other teams would say the same thing about different parts. If only we have a better fifth defenseman or a sixth. I'm sure every team goes through that.
And listen, I agree with you. So you add those 6 points back in, Ryan, they're still in like the kind of like bottom of the Atlantic wild card hunt, which still going into the season, we would have said wasn't good enough. Like,
I know. And in a perfect world, it makes a ton of sense. Your backup goalie plays to a 900 save percentage level. Like, maybe you get 4 more points. But I had people texting me tonight about this team and being like, oh, the backup goalie. It's like, come on. You're not blaming this lost season. They wouldn't be in this position. Anderson's played more than 3/4 of the games. Like, the guy's played a ton of games. And they're still in this position. You're in this position because you're in this position. You're not just blaming it on one dude. Do they need to upgrade? Absolutely, they need an upgrade. They've needed an upgrade for 2 years. But it's like this goes deeper than that for me. It goes way deeper. You don't just quit on your goalie when he gives up a bad goal. And not just for one game, for several games.
And now we're getting really deep into it here, but it's like, that's another thing, right? It's like, look at the Raptors. Look at the run the Raptors are on right now.
12
The Raptors
straight.
Were down by like 20 to the Indiana Pacers.
I won $50 on a bet. I bet the Pacers in the second quarter.
And now they come back and they've won 12 in a row. And there's like a cultural belief within that franchise and that organization that we're never out of it.
Because Kawhi taught them how to win. Yeah. Kawhi came here and showed them what it takes to be a professional athlete at an elite level and do what you have to do to win games in your league. And this team, I said tonight during the game that, you know what, the media might overplay Sheldon Keefe's immaturity comment, but at the end of the day, what I can boil this team and their problems down to is just immaturity around. All around. Things go bad for you, you quit. You stop working. You don't work hard enough. You don't battle out of it. You can't fight back. It's everything to me boils down to immaturity for this hockey team all across the board. And they have some veterans, but they also have some young people. And most young people on this hockey team are the core of their team.
Yep.
And it's just, oh man, I am just flying right now.
I think you're bang on though, buddy. Like, I really do. Like, I really do. Like, I think that is a huge part of the problem. And I think there's a huge part of this fan base that doesn't want to hear that. And, like, the Maple Leafs have acquired, goaltender Jack Campbell and forward Kyle Clifford from the Los Angeles Kings in exchange for forward Trevor Moore, Columbus third round pick in 2020 NHL draft and conditional third round pick in 2021. Los Angeles will retain 50% of Clifford's salary as part of the transaction. Ryan, we don't have one, but hit the breaking news sound up. Give me some breaking news music. I repeat, the Maple Leafs have acquired goaltender Jack Campbell and forward Kyle Clifford from the Los Angeles Kings in exchange for forward Trevor Moore, Columbus third round pick in the 2020 draft and a conditional third round pick in 2021, tweeted 4 minutes ago by Leafs PR. So you know what that tells me, Ryan? That tells me two things.
So this reeks of desperation.
And that Freddie Anderson is not coming back anytime soon.
No. No.
Yeah.
So you're taking a stab at another goaltender, which at this point is not a bad
idea. Let's take a look at Kyle.
Like, we're throwing flyers everywhere at this point.
Yeah.
This is great. Breaking news podcast. 50th episode. This is probably the first time where we've had some sort of breaking news live while we are recording.
Well, by the time everyone listens to it, they'll already know this deal, but that's not the point.
Well, I don't care. You'll laugh when you're listening to it. I know our listeners.
Kyle Clifford. Oh, no, this is Kyle Clifford. 6 goals, 8 assists, 14 points.
Jack Campbell, he's got a .900 save percentage. He's 8 wins, 10 losses on a terrible team. I'm sure he's some sort of an upgrade. But as I said while watching the game tonight, what this hockey market is unbelievable at is taking goalies, chewing them, and spitting them out like they're nothing. So Jack Campbell, if you get your opportunity here, good luck. Because I don't think you'd be any worse than the guy who's in here right now. But be careful if you lose 2 games in a row, because knowing this media and this fan base, it'll be on you why we're not making the playoffs. That's how irrational this fan base is.
So, I guess this means...
it's a desperation move.
Yeah.
You moved a half-decent bottom-six guy to get a flyer of a goaltender. That's basically what we did. Clearly, Kyle Dubas has a decent relationship with the Los Angeles Kings because he made the Jake Muzzin deal as well. Yes. So,
and he also got them to retain half the salary.
I don't care about Kyle Clifford. This is all about taking a flyer on a goaltender.
Yep.
I just opened another one. That's how upset I am. I got the peach first. Now I got the vodka soda lime.
I've never tried the lemon lime.
I know it wasn't a huge fan at first, but
on you.
Growing to like it.
That's the first time we've ever...
Nice, light, smooth
flavor.
That's
the first time we've ever broken a trade on the Talking Buds podcast. Phenomenal. As you were talking and I was going to talk about the Leaf fan base, I just fired up my Twitter.
You just broke into it. I didn't even know it. You just got into it. I'm like, oh man, this is some breaking news here.
Yeah, phenomenal. Let's repeat it one more time for everybody.
I feel like we're professional media guys.
For the third and final time, the Maple Leafs have acquired goaltender Jack Campbell and forward Kyle Clifford from the Los Angeles Kings in exchange for forward Trevor Moore, Columbus third-round pick in the 2020 NHL draft, and a conditional third-round pick in 2021. So we said earlier, Ryan, we did not want them to part ways with draft capital. However, 2 third-round picks, I mean, it could be worse.
We don't want to part them. We don't want to part ways with first-round capital is what
or
we're
second
really
round, especially this year. If you want to part ways with a second-rounder in 2021, okay, but we don't have a first-rounder again this year. So your scouting staff needs to find a gem. You need to find another Pierre Engvall in that second round. I don't even know if he was a second-rounder, but that's the type of player you need to find.
Yeah, good luck. Because you're going to have a lot of eyeballs on you in the offseason if it keeps going the way it's going right now.
So this totally just changed the narrative of what we were talking about. So Jack Campbell's coming here, and he's getting thrown right into the fire, and he will probably start on Friday night. So, yeah, this tells me that Freddie Anderson is...
done for at least 2 weeks.
Yep.
At least. Yep.
So that means, they got a back-to-back this weekend. So that means Mikey Hutch is still going to play one of those games. Or do they just say, Hutch, you're done, and it's Campbell and Kaskasuo?
I would have a very hard time throwing Michael Hutchison back in the net after what we've seen in the past 2 games. Even though I try to stay with them, try not to harp too much on the backup goaltending, but at this point, there's been too many games, too much evidence, too much information on how this team plays in front of him that there is no way I would put him back in that net.
So what do you do if, like, you're Trevor Moore and his mentor.
Yeah. Come home.
Or like Hutch and his mentor.
Poor Trevor Moore. He was a legend for about half a season.
Well, and he's looked pretty average since he's come back, which is understandable.
You know what? Let's trade Kapanen and Janssen while we're at it too. Two useless individuals. Let's trade them while we're at it.
Yeah.
Late to practice, not contributing, paid in the off season.
God, man. Oh my goodness. I'm like totally thrown for a loop now that they made this deal.
I'm not surprised. Desperation. Yep.
Desperation.
At its finest.
You're right. He clearly has a good relationship with the LA Kings. Because the Kings didn't necessarily, like, giving up Moore and a couple third rounders isn't exactly holding Dubas over a barrel.
No, and I've heard Brian Burke talk on 590 millions of times. And the best part about Berkey is his old school hockey stories. And he always tells the stories that there's just like five or six or three or four general managers around the league that he likes to do deals with. So clearly, Kyle Dubas has a decent relationship with the LA Kings.
My goodness. So this totally changes everything. So now we need to shift gears to, I don't really want to do a bum and beauty of the week tonight. Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, I thought about it. Like, well, let's just skip it for this week. Like,
here, I'll do it for you quick. Austin Matthews, beauty of the week.
Cody Ceci, bum of the week.
Cody Ceci, bum of the week. Or Kasperi Kapanen, bum of the week.
Oh, yes. Kapanen,
there you go.
Bum
that's
of the week.
A quick one right there.
Yeah. I didn't want
to. Yeah. Like, late to a noon practice. You have one job. Get to practice on time.
I have a question.
Noon practice. That's embarrassing.
I have a question for you and any of our listeners out there. How many of you, when you saw Kapanen got benched, thought that another video appeared on Pornhub? That's where my head went.
I didn't want to go there.
I was like,
uh-oh,
there's another video.
I'm like, oh,
there's another video on Pornhub.
Oh, boy, that is special.
That is special.
Oh, boy. I was a little worried.
Yeah.
Trade rumors. Are there trade rumors? Yeah. Is Kapanen going anywhere? Nah, he actually just appeared on a website for the second time.
Well, you know what? He was probably... Well, like, do we think that he's out the night before just sending it?
Well, no. I see more like just... Actually, I don't know. Based on his history, he could be sending it
I'm
the
guessing
night before.
He's out the night before sending it, and he just, like, can't.
Could have a needy girlfriend, could be into the VGs, could be playing Fortnite all night.
Oh, yeah.
COD.
Oh, yeah.
Take your pick. I don't know what he's doing. It's noon, dude. Like, even on my best days of sleeping in, noon's a tough call.
Noon's a stretch.
Yeah, like I got a day off today, and I think I slept. It was the longest I've ever slept in a long time, and I think it was like 10:30. Noon? Like, what are you doing? That's embarrassing.
Kyle Dubas, with making this deal, Ryan, is accepting that, like, if we don't do something, we're not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, well, just look at the standings. It will tell you right then and there.
One thing people have to remember about the Maple Leafs, and you have to take this into consideration, is the ramifications. So MLSE is owned by the two biggest telco companies in the country, okay? The revenue generated from a Maple, even having four home playoff games for the Maple Leafs, or three, is massive, okay? It's massive. There, someone, and it will be Shanny, will need to answer to the board of directors when they are missing that revenue this year. So it's like, they are going to do everything they can to get in.
Yeah, and judging by the temperature of this country, and you watch the Leafs go on the West Coast to Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, Montreal, even though that's not on the West Coast, on the East Coast, but And then you got Ottawa. You look at the amount of blue shirts that are in that building. I think it's pretty clear at this point that one team in this country rules the roost, and it's the blue and white.
Kyle Clifford's face, like this, his this headshot that they've posted of him, is incredible. Guy's just got no teeth, and he's just looks like a gritty individual.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for. I like Trevor Moore. I felt bad for him that he got that injury at the start of the season.
Another one of these guys who's like,
I know, I get it.
Speedy and skilled.
No, I get it. He's you can get rid of him. You can get rid of most of the guys on this team. There's only a couple guys you could keep. You could replace most guys on this team. Let's be honest, but it's a desperation move. It's like, let's take another flyer on a goaltender who hasn't had a great career. Was hyped up, didn't do that well, but maybe he'll do a little bit better than the guy we have right now, because that's all they can ask for. Because yeah. They're screwed if Freddie is out for a while. And I hate how they just don't make it public. It's like, come on. Like,
yeah, tell I know. Us. Well, it's you're right. I think you're bang on when you're saying like a couple weeks.
And it's like we get on this podcast, and I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, if I've not been paying attention, like, did they announce something for Anderson?
No,
like,
they haven't. No. They said the only thing they've said is neck injury and day to day.
What are they gonna do, man? Like, what are they gonna
do? Well, they just
like what is the consequences, the repercussions of this team who is so talented and one of the most talented team in the NHL and have the highest payroll and paying the most players when they don't make the playoffs? Like, what do you do? What do you do there?
You completely change the makeup of the team. And you have it on like, the one thing. Listen, here's the one thing. Like, you made the point earlier and you referenced Sheldon Keefe's immature comments, okay? So here's the one thing that is making me feel good about that, all right? The biggest difference when it comes to the relationship, Keefe and Dubas are on the same page, okay? Babcock and Dubas were not. So Babs would say something, and I am inclined to believe that it would kind of went in Kyle's ear and out the other. If Sheldon sits down across the table from him at the end of the season and goes, we got a problem here. Like we got an immature group and we need to fix this. Kyle is more inclined to listen to him and make changes. Whereas before, I think he and Babcock had such opposing visions of hockey in general that he wouldn't necessarily listen to Babs the way he'll listen to Sheldon.
Well, I hope so. And I like Sheldon Keefe. From what I've seen from him, seems like a smart guy. Seems like everything that he has in place is good. It's in check. It's going to work. But it's like it's almost he's jumped on a train that's headed towards the wrong direction. He just got on too little, too late.
If you miss the playoffs. I completely lost my train of thought in the middle of that sentence there. It's happened to me a couple times. Where am I going with this?
Just bye-bye.
If they don't make the playoffs, heads are going to roll. It's that simple.
I don't think anything's going to happen. What's going to happen?
But the big four aren't going anywhere for obvious and financial reasons, but everyone underneath them... And Freddie's not going anywhere. But no one else is safe. And, like, obviously they're not going to...
So you're looking at Riley, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, Anderson.
Sandin.
Everyone else.
Throw Sandin in there as well.
Free
Throw
range.
Sandin in there as well. He's the number one prospect in the organization. He's not going anywhere.
Guy needs to start lifting some weights and working on his fast twitch muscle fibers ASAP,
Ryan,
in the off season.
But Ryan, listen. The guy is like
has a lot to
but
work
he's,
on.
Ryan, he's a kid, and like, how long does it take to? It takes
Well, look at Morgan Riley. He started in the league as a kid. He was kind of struggled for a bit, and then he showed up last year. He got 70 points. Showed up this year. He was speculated to be kind of hurting all year, and now he's gone. He's nowhere in sight. They miss him. That's another factor. You got your number one defenseman out on the shelf.
That is another factor.
And now you got your number one goalie on the shelf, and it's like, what are you going to do without
those two? And that's
the thing. You're not
good
enough.
That's another thing about this season, man. And I don't want to make excuses, but it's like, they've dealt with more injury issues this year than they have in the last 3 years. Everybody's taking a turn on the
DL. Sure. And Anderson always has a point in the year where he's a little banged up. There was a point last year where they first got Hutchinson and he played like 5 games in a row and he wasn't even that bad. And they've had some Matthews injuries. They've had Marner out for a bit this year. They've had Tavares out for a bit. Nylander was nowhere to be found last year. He was swimming somewhere, even though he was supposed to be playing hockey. And then this year, you got Keefe takes over. Nylander's playing well. Austin Matthews got 39. They've both been healthy all year. And now your goalie's injured. Tavares was hurt for a bit, not having that good of a year. And Marner is Marner. Like, it's just... And then you look around, you're like, okay, they're talented. The guys have stats. They're having good years. And then it's, you look at the standings, it's like, okay, it's not really doing it. It's not working.
Yeah. But now, Ryan, we have a new development to watch as they've acquired Jack Campbell from the LA Kings.
Jack Campbell.
The savior.
Good guy.
What would you have done if they went and got Johnny Burns from the Detroit Red Wings?
I would have called his agent personally, set up an educational video on Nelson Mandela before I had Johnny Burns take care of anything.
Oh, that's the best answer you could have possibly given.
That's what I would have done. And for anyone who hasn't seen that clip, I beg you to type in on YouTube, Jonathan Bernier, Nelson Mandela.
You will not regret it.
And if you have a bad case of secondhand embarrassment, I do not recommend watching this.
You will not regret it.
You will cringe. Yes. And feel bad and be embarrassed for another human being.
Yep. That was even better than my Kapanen and Pornhub reference. You topped me.
That's terrible. I show people that, like, for people who aren't big hockey guys or big Leaf guys who would have known that happened. I'm sure some of you on this pod who are listening to this pod probably haven't heard it either, so I beg you to go search it up. It is just goodness. It is top level embarrassing. Yes. Like, whoa. Yikes. Yep.
All right, buddy. I think we've got it out of our system for this week. We look ahead. They got the Anaheim Ducks on Friday and then the Montreal Canadiens on Saturday.
Nice. I'm looking forward to that Saturday.
So you are predicting that Kasimir Kaskasuo plays one of those games and Jack Campbell plays the other.
Yeah, I would have especially after that trade. It's so soon after that game. Like, I was wondering if maybe they had it in the works or like it was like an immediate reaction. Yep. I highly doubt it was immediate reaction, knowing how GMs operate or how they make you believe they operate. I'm sure he's made an inquiry before, but like a part of me wonders that like halfway during this game, he just called the Kings GM and was like, yo, like, can we do anything about this? Cause this is atrocious.
Or like he had that sitting in the, like in the hopper and then that fourth goal went in and he just called him up and was like, do it. Let's go.
Yeah. So I think it'd be a very tough ask to put Mikey Hutch back in the net, because any new guy they'll put in the net, they'll have a little more incentive, a little more motivation. Like, let's not do it again. Let's not put a new guy in the net and go out and play awful and not play well on our own end and just completely ruin another guy's career. Yeah. because that's what this team is very good at, is ruining backup goalie careers. It's the third goalie in the row they've done that to. So yeah, I think it's time for to put a new goalie in there and kind of maybe light a spark under this group, because they need it desperately.
And on that note, Rye, we will wait. We will patiently await the debut of Jack Campbell as the new Maple Leafs goalie. Backup goalie. Yeah, I know. Campbell. Thanks for downloading this week, everybody. We will catch you next week.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.